Today we're starting a new series, first of a four-part series called So Loved. So Loved. And after coming off of Vision Sunday and introducing or possibly reintroducing our mission statement to for some of you to kind of know and to get to understand, we wanted to just kind of begin a new series that kind of went with that. And our mission statement, if you don't know it, is to be a church that reaches and connects people to Jesus Christ in such a way that love is confirmed, hope is renewed, and faith comes to life. And we thought it would be just so great to be able to look at those three kingdom foundations over the next several months and really kind of dive into each of those. Because if those are our cornerstones, or if those are pillars for us as a church to walk in and to celebrate in, then you know what? We got to have a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of what does that mean? What does love, hope, and faith mean, right? And in our scripture, that scripture is derived from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and it says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And if you think about it, faith and hope both spring from love, right? So that makes love the greatest of all virtues. That's the key thing for us to grasp, for us to comprehend. And in order for us to be a church where God's love is confirmed, then we must start receiving a fresh, fresh new revelation of God's love, right? Because we're saying, hey, this is a foundational piece that we're sticking in the ground. And so if we're sticking this in the ground, then you know what? We got to know, and we got to start living it, and we got to start experiencing it at such a level that would begin to just change our lives. Because that's part of this journey that we're on. We're supposed to be pressing in so that God can do a work inside of us, so that things can begin to change in our life, that we no longer accept what the enemy would give to us, but we would say, no, that's not for me. This is what's for me. It's God's word and what God's word has to say for me. But this love factor is so important, right? And this fresh revelation of love, it's not what you would call ordinary love. Right? I looked up ordinary love, okay? Ordinary love is a human experience. This is what it said. It's a human experience. It's an emotion, right? It's goosebumps. It's the butterflies, the swirly-whirlies, you know, when you're, oh, you know, right? It's all of that. And it's very limited, ordinary love. Very limited. It's very, very small. But the Bible tells us that you are so loved by God. Right? So loved by God. Right? And his love is not limited. It's not small. And it can't fit in your tiny little box. Right? Because we carry a box. Did you know that? We think, well, God only loves me. This tiny much. Because you know what? Not everything is totally working out well for me today. And so we think God's love must be in this little tiny box, and it's just stuck right there. And so that's what we think in our head, because you know what? I'm not having a great day. But God's love can't fit in that box. Today, break that barrier. Break that box open. Right? What are those cutting knives? Those, when you get it, you know, like Amazon delivers a box to you. You know, you got to rip open the tape. Right? Well, today, rip it open and just flatten that box and say, no longer am I going to fit God's love in this tiny little box and just carry it with me wherever I go. No, God's love is bigger. So now you got to start carrying it to the capacity of his tremendous love for you, because it's there all the time. It's there. You know, and it's so big that, you know what, this is how I think of it. But God's love is so big, and he loves each of us, right, that he loves us like, you know what, we're the only one in the room. Hey, have you ever been in a room where there's like lots of people, right? But your loved one is somewhere in that room, right? And you walk in and you're trying to find your loved one, and you're not even really paying attention to anything else but your loved one. Well, that's how God looks at you all the time. He's focused on you. He's like, oh my gosh, you are my loved one, right? Now, he's so big and so good that he can love every single one that's in that room. He can do it. But And he's able to focus exactly on that loved one. And that's what he's going for in our lives. He wants us to know that, right? Plus, we know that, and you know, the Bible tells us that. You know that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. This is going to be podcasted, and it's going to be scary, right? But Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, so the Bible tells us in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world, right? There's that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay? That's part of that whole love equation. He didn't come to condemn the world. It says, but that the world through him might be saved. Right? He didn't come with a hammer. He didn't come lay it down. He said, hey, you know what? I so love every single individual from the very beginning to the very end. I love them so much that I'm not going to condemn them, but I'm going to pull them and whisper to them and love them into the kingdom and continue to love them. So God, the Almighty, the one who created the heavens and the earth, he so loves you and he so loves me. And this love, man, it surpasses our human capacity, right? Our human understanding, our natural understanding, it far surpasses that. Now, and that's why Paul prays this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, right? And he's going to say this through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit's going to help us. It says this, that Christ may dwell. Now, that's the opposite of visit, right? Okay, Jesus isn't going to just visit with you and then bail. Can I get an amen? Right? He's actually going to dwell, reside there, take root there. It says that he may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being, right, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Did you catch that word? Love, right? Man, that means, you know what? You're rooted and grounded, that you start getting a revelation of this love that God has for you, and it becomes so much a part of you that, you know what? You start developing roots, and you start developing these things so that when anything that comes your way, when anything that the enemy would throw at you, with anything that anybody would like say to you that would be opposite of the love of God in your life, you would be able to squash that thing right away. You wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't just stand there and oh, yeah, you're right. I just, I'm a mess up. I blow it. I just can't, you know, I'm. No. Man, you would know because you're rooted and grounded in this love. Man, I serve a God that loves me. I serve a God that's got my back. I serve a God who's greater than anything the enemy would throw at me. And you know what? Because I'm his kid, man, I'm going to see God's word work in my life. I'm going to see the victory come because of who God is, right? It's so important that we get rooted in that. So it says, rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, okay? Now, this is all the saints. These are those who are saved. But you know what? It's really for any person. Once somebody comes to the knowledge of who Jesus is and confesses that, once they kind of move into that, man, this love is for every single one of us. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for evangelists or prophets or teachers or anything like that. It's for every single person. God's love is for you, right? It's not against you. It's for you. Man, it's important for us to know that, because sometimes we walk around and we don't think God's love is really for us. It's in our little box. And our little box only lets us go so far with God's love. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, I've been really like just, man, I love the Passion Translation, so I'm going to read it to you in that. Okay, because this is how Paul prays it. He says, by constantly using your faith, okay, so that means you got to use faith when it comes to the love of God, right? Because there's times you don't feel like it, that you're loved. But you got to use your faith. I mean, if you're married, Right? There's sometimes in that marriage thing, right? You got to use your faith. Because, man, you know, your wife, your spouse, your husband, what, man, they just ticked you off. Am I the only one? Right? But, man, you don't feel like you're in love. Right? When you get married, you think, oh, it's just going to be lovey-dovey. It's going to be all great, roses, everything's going to be fine and dandy, right? It's not that. Yeah, what? I'm surprised you didn't say amen, actually. But thanks, hon. Anyways, but the thought is, you know what? It takes faith. There are times you wake up in the morning, man, you're not so thrilled with the person that you're married to, but you know what? I'm still going to, by faith, man, I'm going to love her. I'm going to love him. I'm going to do everything that I can do. And there's times that we've just got to, it takes faith to know that God loves you. So by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source of the root of your life. Then you will be empowered. Man, after you get this revelation of his love, and it begins to become deep inside of you, I love this. It says, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ. And all its dimensions, right? It's beyond our capability. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love? How enduring and inclusive it is? Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you, listen, until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. You know what that means? That love spigot is on. And it just keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And we got to keep receiving, 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 right? So, so amazing. And the great thing about it, too, is that, you know what? His love is given to us not by anything that we've done, right? You and I can do nothing to deserve his love. But man, just God, so simple. God loves you, right? And he desires to draw you into this personal, intimate relationship with him. But get this, this personal, intimate relationship with him can only grow to the magnitude of God's desire, right? Because God desires this with you, but it can only grow to the magnitude of his desire when we truly, right, in our personal lives, understand his love is beyond our natural intellect. It's beyond our reasoning. We can't measure it. There's no measuring, right? You can't get out a ruler and say, oh, I'm going to measure God's love with this ruler. No, right? You can't get out, and it's not based on whether, man, you are so blessed that day that everything's just clicking and God's just doing it. It's not based on that. It's not based on the fact that you're having a cruddy day and everything's not working for you at all. God loves you every single moment of the day. And we have to just continue to receive that. We have to receive it. We can't measure it. And as pastors, we want to see all of us encounter the love of God, right? In such a way that it will transform our life. That's what our heart is, okay? You might say, well, man, I've heard many sermons about love. I've heard it all, Pastor Scott. But you know what? Open your ears. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because we have not begun to fathom every single aspect of God's love. We don't have it all figured out. But you know what? There's some things that the Holy Spirit can share. The Holy Spirit can open your heart, open your eyes to, and go, wow, I never thought of it that way. Or even just the fact of, you know what, saying, hey, Holy Spirit, help me to have a deeper revelation of God's love for me. That's what this is about. We want you to be able to do that. And when we do that, then that begins to affect our faith and our hope, doesn't it? When we understand the fullness, man, we're just grasping this God's love. Man, our faith and our hope, it starts clicking, it starts coming to life. So that, you know, in everyday life, our everyday life is impacted. So we begin to step out in faith for what we feel God's saying, because you know why? Not because we're like, ah, oh, I don't know. It's because, man, God loves me. And if he's asking me to do this, then he'll be there, right? He'll provide. He'll do it. Man, if God, if you feel in a sense, and oh, man, you know what? Go pray for that person. Whoa, wait, slow down, right? But, man, taking a step of faith because, you know what? I got a father that loves me so much that he would not have put that on my heart unless he didn't want me to do it. And then he's got the ability and the know-how and the resources to meet the need of that person. And I just happen to be the vessel he chose today. Right? I just happen to be the vessel he chose today. Because you know what? I'm walking in love. I'm walking in the fullness of the love of who God is. And so his love is everlasting. It's unfailing love. No matter how bad or how good you have been, it's not earned. It's not ordinary. It's just kind of like a crazy love, actually. This is a crazy love with so many layers and dimensions to it, right? And I'm going to say this too. His love for us is not based on our love for him. Because many people kind of get that mixed up. Right? They think that's how it works. If I love him, right? Because that's what they tell me to do. I'm supposed to kind of love him, right? He'll love me. Or if I don't love him, then he's not going to love me. It's not how it works. He loves all the time, right? Bible tells us he first loved us with this radical, unconditional, crazy, self-sacrificial, sacrificing love. And so, you know what? Recognize, even if you're in that place where the enemy begins to talk to you and begins to discourage you and you begin to think, you know what, I'm not a very lovable person. I don't really even love myself. You don't even know, Pastor Scott, how much I don't really like myself. Well, you know what, that doesn't change God's opinion about you. That doesn't change his love for you. And once you start grabbing a hold of the fact that he still loves you anyways, then you know what, you can start to begin to take in and begin to grow and say, you know what, man, if God loves me, stop it, Scott. You love yourself, right? Love yourself because you got a God who loves you. Even though I don't make sense to me because I'm a knucklehead, right? But he still loves me. And so it's grasping that. It's grasping that and knowing that. And another thing is he loves you today more intently and intensely as he loved you yesterday, right? Yesterday, oh, hey, we did everything, man. We prayed. We read our Bible. We were all good the next day. Oh, I didn't do anything. I guess God doesn't love me. No. He loves you every single day. It doesn't stop. It doesn't change. So that's going to lead us kind of to our first point today. It says, you are so loved by God, right? You are so loved by God. Again, John 3:16 says, for God so, or it's in this manner, loved the world. Now, love here is the Greek word agapeo, right? And it's from the Greek word agape. But it means to be fond of, be well pleased with a passionate affection for. One scholar referred to it as a high-level love. Okay? It's a high-level love, stating that there is no higher, finer, or more excellent form of love. It's unconditional love by choice and an act of will to do whatever it takes to ensure the highest good of another person, no matter what they do. That's the type of love that God has for you and me, right? Even if you're not following Jesus, that's the type of love he has for you. That's what it is. And so when I think of that love, to me, it's God looked upon the human race, right? He looked upon it with this agape love, with this appreciation, this awe of kind of mankind, right? He had such a passionate affection for man. Sending, you know, when he looked at man, he looks at him in his own image, by the way, right? And even though all that's going on and all that, you know, Satan held mankind, he's holding mankind captive to sin, right? God was compelled. God looked at the human race, and he so deeply loved the human race, he was compelled that he had to do something. His love went into action. His love went into action. It drove it to him, right? And the thing about this agape love, right? It knows no limits or boundaries. It absolutely knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, and deep it will go to show this love. Let that sink in. Man, it's this passionate affection for the object or person, right, that you deeply cherish. Man, he deeply cherishes you, right? It was God's love that compelled him and compelled you towards him, right? He wants this relationship with you. That's why Paul could write this in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Again, it's in the Passion Translation. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that this love will triumph over death. Life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heaven. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. God loves you more than you know. He loves you. And you know what? Not only that, he also likes you, right? He likes you, right? And he desires to display his constant affection towards you, his passion towards you. He desires to constantly display it, right? And it would have no limits or no boundaries. Think about that. The love of God in my life, for me personally, think about it for you personally. What would that look like if you let God love you limitlessly and boundlessly instead of putting him in a little box? Man, that would revolutionize your life. That would change things forever. Psalms 139 says this in verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in the number than the sand. Right? Now think about that. That's a lot of sand. Right? You take all the sand from all over the place. Right? So the fact they're trying to count sand, that would be a never-ending task. That's God's thoughts towards you. It's never-ending. It's never, man, I don't know how God is able to think about every single individual, every single person that's alive. I don't know how he's able to do it, but he's able to do it, right? It takes faith for me to receive that. It takes faith for me to be able to receive that. He said, there'll be more than the sand. He says, when I awake, I am still with you, right? That means to me, man, his thoughts are about us all the time, all the time. In fact, his love towards us, if we truly receive it, will draw us into what his deepest desire is. And again, that's having a deeper relationship with him. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you in. I have drawn you. And so if we'll recognize that he so loves us and start pressing in by truly receiving, right? Truly receiving his unconditional love for us, realizing, man, we don't have to earn it, right? He loves us just the way we are, then everything within you will begin to change. Everything will begin in you, and you'll begin to experience the abundant life that Jesus talks about in Scripture, right? Man, you'll have abundant life. You'll be able to squash fear, despair, anxiety, anything that comes your way, anything the devil would throw at you, because of this revelation of this love that God has for you, man, you'll be able to squash it. Man, it won't even be able to stand in the presence of the enemy. That fear, that doubt, that unbelief, all of those things, because you know what? You know, without a shadow of a doubt, I don't care if I messed up or whatever and I came back, he loves me. And as a child who is loved of God, that means he's with me. He is going to help me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through so that I have victory in every area of my life. And so you look at it and say, okay, well, I get it. God loves me, right? But why does he love me? Why does he love me? Because, you know, we think sometimes to the point of, you know, hey, I'm a person who makes mistakes, right? Or, man, I have issues. My life's a train wreck, Pastor Scott. Man, I am so unlovable. Man, my life is full of sin. It's full of just this debauchery. It's full of all this stuff. I make wrong choices all the time. So why in the world would he love me? Well, here's our second point. You are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man or mankind in our image according to our likeness.'" So you are the work of God's hand, his masterpiece created in his image, in his likeness. Genesis also tells us about how God breathed into man, breathed the breath of life into man. This is why he loves you. This is why he loves you, because he was intricately involved in the design of mankind. He was intricately involved in the design of you. Man, sometimes I question God, why'd you make me this way? Why couldn't I have been that way? Or why couldn't I have been that way? Right? And he says, you know what? I created you the way you are because you're my masterpiece. I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew exactly that this is how I formed you and shaped you. And man, we got to get a revelation of that. We got to know that. And listen, whether or not you are a follower or a disciple of Christ, right? If you are, awesome. And we're going to give you, and if you're not, then we're going to give you an opportunity to be. But whether you are or you're not, you're still a masterpiece. You're still a masterpiece. And he still loves you. Right? And here's the exciting thing. Right? When you step into a relationship with Jesus, okay, you get a spiritual upgrade in your design. You get a spiritual upgrade in your design. Right? And you only need one upgrade. It's not like an iPhone or your apps on your phone where they would constantly say, oh, you got to update it or whatever. What happens is when you accept Jesus into your life, right, you're already his workmanship because God had a part in creating it, creating you. But when you accept Jesus, man, all of a sudden you get this spiritual upgrade inside of you. And you know what? The devil doesn't like that. He doesn't like it at all. But you get this spiritual upgrade that goes on. And when you get this upgrade, then you know what happens? Man, your sin nature begins to be removed. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is this upgrade that he's doing in you. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." That's part of the Holy Spirit upgrade. Because this passion of scripture right here is for a believer. So when we become a believer, we're his masterpiece, but we're now an upgraded masterpiece. We've got this upgrade that's going on. It says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this word workmanship is the Greek word poema, which means the work of a creator. Something artfully and skillfully created. A design produced by an artist. So we're God's poem. We're his work of art. Right? We're not this cheap replica of anything. Right? We are an original. Each and every one of you are an original. That's why, you know what, they have those facial scans and the retinas and the eyeballs, because only you can get in, right? That's why, because you're an original. That's why your fingerprint, they take your fingerprint, right? Whenever you go somewhere or you need some or whatever, background check or whatever, they take your fingerprint. Why is that? Because you're an original. Nobody has the same design, pattern, whatever. God was working it all out. He knows how to do it, right? But you're an original. You're not just some assembly line Christian coming off the line. Oh, there you go. Boom, boom, boom. Man, they all look the same. That's not how it is. We all look different. Praise God that we all look different. I'm glad my kids don't look like me. I'll just tell you that much anyways. And you know what? I think we kind of get this too, because, you know, as parents, when we have a newborn, right? We kind of experience this unexplainable connection, right? That we had a part in creating them, creating this baby. I remember being a dad for the first time, and I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I got no clue whatsoever, right? I mean, you could take that class in school, you know, and you got to walk around with a little baby and feed it and all that. Man, that's nothing compared to real life, right? All the parents are like, yeah, amen, I know that. But it's nothing compared to that. But we have this connection, this deep, deep connection, right? And because we had this part in creating them. And it's called love, right? And when this love is so deep and so real, and when somebody doesn't necessarily, you know, have that love towards our kids, we kind of get all mama bear and papa bear on them, right? What are you doing to my kid? You know, we start sticking our chest. What do you mean? That's my kid, you know, type of thing. But it's because there's this deep love. This deep love. We can't explain it. But then here you got, in the same way you got God, has this deep connection, this deep love for each and every single one of us. And it's greater than what we can experience. And don't you think, man, God's got that Papa Bear chest out going, hey, devil, you can't mess with my kid. Right? I mean, we don't look at it that way, but that's the way he is. Say, hey, go. Remember when Daniel was praying, man, and took the angel? He told the angel, man, you get down there, right? And they're all, you know, all this battle going on and stuff like that. I don't even know why I'm going this way. But hey, you know what? You just get down there. And you know what? He got there. And he said, it took me a while to get here, but man, we defeated the enemy. And that's the same way that God is working on our behalf. His love is so deep for us in that way, right? Because you know why? He was intricately involved in every single detail of your creation. He was. He was in there in this design. He was weaving your spirit and your soul together within you, right? In order to kind of fit his predestined plan and purpose for your life that you could fulfill it. You're designed the way you are because God designed you that way. And you act and you have these gifts. Like, you know what's crazy? I go into grocery stores or I go somewhere, and I try to be the most unassuming person possible because I'm a back row guy. But there are times I catch people just staring at me. And I'm thinking, why are you staring at me? I'm not that good looking. I got things. But they're like staring. And then they see you kind of like looking. I look back at them and they're like. And I think, why? But you know what? I just look at it and I think, man, you know what? That's just part of the grace of God in my life. And if I would understand it at a higher, later, greater level, then, man, I would be able to maybe go, man, they're recognizing something in me, that I've got something that they need, and that I need to follow and listen to the Holy Spirit to be able to come up to them and say, hey, how you doing? I know we caught eye contact. Just kind of maybe, you know, open it up really kind of laughably or jokingly. But then ask them, man, can I pray for you? Man, what can I talk to you about? You know, is there something you need? But it's just this thing. But I think it's just the way God's wired me and the way it happens for me. It might not happen that way for you, but that's okay. But just be comfortable in the fact that, hey, God designed you for a specific work, right? And you, sometimes you have to find out what that is and then go for it, even if that's a stretch for you. Getting up here on stage is a stretch for me. This is not my comfort zone. But I'll tell you what, I feel like, man, I'm fulfilling what God wants me to. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered or weaved me, knit me together in my mother's womb." Verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." Think about that. We were all made in secret. But man, our frame wasn't hidden from him. "And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance yet being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them." Man, that's so good. The very thought that God skillfully had made each of us as his creative expression, right? The masterpiece of his hands. He ordained our life. Man, that ought to make us see that there is no way that we can escape his love. No way we can escape his love. And like I said before, it's not ordinary love, but it's a love that moves self-sacrificially into action, right? He's constantly trying to let you know that he loves you. And God took this action. And so we're going to look at our third point here. He said, God demonstrated this love through Jesus Christ. So we know that God loves us. We know why he loves us. And now we see, man, God, because he loves us and he thinks we're a masterpiece or we're his masterpiece. Now, how did he show that? Well, one of the examples he shows is through his son Jesus. Through his son Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated or proved his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Right? Before we loved and came to him, he loved us first. Right? And to illustrate this unconditional love that God has for us, he took action. Right? The action he took by giving his only begotten son as a sacrifice to reconcile us, to mankind back to him. That means he just put it back into right relationship. He just made sure that when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, then you know what? That relationship with God is back in flow. It's not off anymore, but it's back in flow. And his action of love is for every undeserving person, which is all of us. We don't deserve this love, right? When you look at your life over the course of it, wherever you're at, man, we fall short. We miss the mark. But it's for every single person. For every single person. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19 says, "And all of this is a gift," right? This love, this grace from God, "who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world," that means all people, "to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them," right? The ledger is now clean when we come to him. Right? Our problem is we hold on to our sin. What I mean by that is we'll go to Jesus. We'll go to God and say, "God, forgive me of my sin. I messed up. According to 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you for it." And then you know what happens? The enemy comes and goes, "That wasn't enough." Right? And we hold on to our sin. "Oh, yeah, but I was just such a terrible person before. I'm just, oh, my gosh, man, Lord, God's not going to really love me because, man, I'd still, When he says, no, son, daughter, by your confession, man, the ledger is clean. It's like an accounting term. You take in the eraser and he erases it all, but there's no spots left. You know how sometimes on an eraser it doesn't erase all the way, right? And you can still see the outline of the number, or you get those really, have you ever had a really bad eraser? You know those ones that are like really hard or something, and you're trying to erase and it's just making this black smudge all over? That's not what God uses. He uses the one that, man, it just like, as that song said, white as snow. Completely clean. He cleans the ledger. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Out of God's love for us, he didn't send Jesus to collect our debt, but he was sent to pay our debt. Jesus was sent to pay our debt, right? To mark on the ledger, paid in full. It's all done. It's accomplished. And out of love, Jesus did this, right? Because we couldn't do it for ourselves. And because of that, God's not mad at anyone anymore. In fact, because he so loves you, his love is full of generosity towards you. Did you catch that? Because he loved you so much, God's love towards you is full of generosity. Romans 8:32, again, this is in the Passion Translation. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. God's mood towards you is generosity. He's willing to give you it all. It's whether or not we will be are willing to receive all. Are we willing to do what it takes to receive all? So how then, Pastor Scott, how then can I understand this revelation deeper? How can I understand that God loves me so, so much? This love that he loves me with, that's so unconditional, is such an everlasting love, right? That you said is obvious because he sent his son Jesus. How can I get that to become alive in my heart? How do I get it to begin to be fresh within me? Well, John 16, verse 13 and 14, first says this. We're going to two scriptures. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Man, you know what? Holy Spirit wants to be your partner in all this. He wants to be the one that's revealing it to you. He wants to be the one that's showing to you. Sometimes we try to do it so much in our own willpower, our own, right? When sometimes it's as simple as, Holy Spirit, I need you. The word tells me that you would guide me into all truth. You'll actually speak to me and help me understand this stuff so that it can become more of a revelation in my heart. It can become so fresh. It says he will guide you. It says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Don't you think God wants to speak to you about his love? Oh, yes, he does. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is the only one who can open up the eyes of your understanding, your heart, to see and believe in Jesus as the evidence of God's love for you. He's the only one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And worship team, if you want to come on up. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows the things of God. He knows the things that God wants to share with you. He wants to speak with you. And sometimes it's us pressing in and getting a little bit more closer to him, acknowledging that you're even, hey, Holy Spirit, you're here, right? We go out throughout our day and we don't even acknowledge that the Holy Spirit was given to us to help us and direct us. Sometimes we just got to acknowledge him. Holy Spirit, man, I thank you for being here. Every single Sunday and throughout the week. But man, on Sunday, just before I get up here, I say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. You're speaking through me. That you've got words to say, and hopefully, oh man, I'm open enough to allow you to speak through me. But here it is. He says, man, for what man knows the things of of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. That means he's in us if we made Jesus the Lord of our life. That we might know the things or the wonderful things that has been freely given to us by God, that we would know. So the challenge is, will you open your heart? Don't close it off. Don't put God's love in a box. Would you open your heart and be able to say, teach me. Give me a fresh revelation, a fresh understanding of your love for me. You know what?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.